It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
To hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web, this is The Rob Carson Show.
And this is hour number two of The Rob Carson Show, Monday edition, 800-922-6680. A great American eclipse happening today. Eagle Pass, Texas, where the gate's been closed for illegals. 1:32 this hour. This is noon central. It'll be noon 32 for Eagle Pass. Then 1:40 Dallas, Little Rock 1:51, Indianapolis 3:06, Cleveland 3:13, Buffalo, New York 3:18, Montreal, Canada 3:26, New Brunswick, Connecticut 4:34. So that's going to take place today. The total eclipse. I did write something. Do you mind if I share something with you? I do these things called audio blogs, and they were observational about a variety of things. I wrote one that was very long. It was called the Mea Culpa, the Madness of King Joe, and that was like 8 pages. It's on Substack, by the way, Rob Carson Show Substack. Pardon the all caps. I wrote it for broadcast, but I wrote this. I did one about a week ago on my mother-in-law's passing, but this is called, and I wrote this originally in 2017. Do you know why? Because there was another eclipse in 2017. I don't know if you knew that. There was another eclipse in 2017. But I'm going to read this to you, and maybe you'll enjoy it, and then we'll move on to other things. It's called The Beach Ball, the BB, and the P. All right? If you live long enough, you're going to witness history and lots of it. This history to be made April the 8th, 2024, is a total eclipse will sweep across the heart of the United States. I've been alive long enough to remember the last one in 1979. I was in Mr. Smith's science class in middle school using a shoebox to project the image of the sun being gobbled up by the moon. If only momentarily, days before this eclipse, I marveled at the precision and the improbability of the event. For the shadow of the moon to cover the sun perfectly, leaving only its corona exposed, is an incredible coincidence or a textbook case of intelligent design. I read an article, a column by Eric Metaxas. He echoed the same sentiment. Eric used a giant 6 feet in diameter beach ball to represent the sun. He used a BB to represent the moon. To make the moon seem like the size of the beach ball, he had to separate them by 400 feet, 100 feet longer than a football field. I compared the size of the sun to the earth as that of a BB to a small pea. Yes, we live on a pea. We're so close to the earth, we see everything around us as eventful and cataclysmic, but in the grand scheme of things, one objectively looking at the BB and the pea from a distance would not think sending tiny beings from the pea to the BB on a small spacecraft would be a big deal. We drive big SUVs. We're passed on mega highways by giant tractor trailers. We have huge protests and much larger wars. We sail on massive ships and even a mere 35,000 feet up in an aircraft. We're barely discernible and not at all audible. I'm not meaning to take away from the severity and impact events on this big blue marble we live on. Because we exist on its surface and gaze up at its skies, it's big to us. We're born on it. We live our lives on it. We die on it. We witness eclipses on it, lest we forget in the grand scheme of things, our pea is precious. Our pea is rare. Our pea, P-E-A, is home. And regardless of how much we are dwarfed by the beach balls of the universe, it's big to us. There you go. Thank you very much. A little insightful, almost philosophical approach to today's lunar events and solar events, which are pretty crazy. Let's go to Terry in Baltimore. Wants to talk to about Dawn Staley, the head coach of UConn. South Carolina. We beat UConn on Friday. South Carolina, who says that she'd be fine if men competed as women in women's sports in college. What do you think, Terry?
Well, first off, I think you're an idiot for calling her an idiot, because obviously she's doing something right with you know, 34 and a perfect record, number one.
Yeah, well, there's that's true,
right,
yes, yes.
With her girl. Okay, number two is the best team, the better team, won yesterday. Iowa's not all that. Caitlin's got some problems. She needs to grow up when she gets to the women's NBA. They're going to kick her ass. She's going to tighten up.
Okay.
And number three is, I can't believe that journalist or whatever the hell he was asked her that question. Do you ever see college coaches, the men's, having to answer a stupid-ass question like that? Do you ever hear that?
No. Well, no, because they're...
Why did he have to ask that, number one? Number two is, it's really, you know, she's got to say what she had to say. It's politically correct. She doesn't want to lose her job. And who knows? Maybe she's got some connection to a trans person in her group of people there.
Sure.
That she doesn't want to, you know, offend.
Okay.
So, you know, but don't call her an idiot. That's just totally...
Well...
Yeah.
Okay. I accept that. And normally, when people call me an idiot during a phone call, I just kind of move on. But Terry, I will certainly allow your name calling to stand.
But
let me tell you. But let me ask you this. Can I call her Terry? Hold on. You got to call him now.
What?
Wow, you sound like I'm talking to my wife. I think that her opinion was tone deaf, to say the least, considering how many women's careers are being destroyed by men. She is not being impacted yet, but I'll tell you, the swim teams around the country have been impacted by it. Track teams have been impacted by it, and others. So as far as men, the reason why she was asked is because it's happening where men are claiming to be women and then beating the snot out of women in their sports. So that's why it was brought up.
Rob, can you just for time out for a minute? I wish that more women would, my Chris Everett, Billie Jean King, I wish these women would step up to the plate and say, hey, this is not right.
Yes.
I know it's not right. I don't want to ever compete with a guy because I know that he's going to be better. He's physically better than me. But, you know, nobody's stepping up to the plate, and I wish they would. And I was very disappointed what she said. But she's I'm just going to say she's not an idiot.
Okay, I'll give you that, Terry. But let me mention this. The reason why Caitlin has the all-time scoring record is because she's a great basketball player. And I don't think that just because she goes to the NBA, she's going to get somehow beaten down by the women of the NBA. She shoots outside shots from Iowa when she's in Illinois, all right? So I think that you are...
Women's basketball before?
Oh, yeah, I used to be the head coach at the University of Birdenburg. You know what? No, I've never coached women's basketball.
Okay.
But I will tell you...
About defense, she doesn't play defense. She does not play defense very well. She needs to grow up, and she will.
Can you just real quick, before I say goodbye, when is your sports radio show on? Because I want to listen and possibly call yours.
Very funny. That's very funny. You're just such a jokester, I swear to God.
All right, Terry, thanks for the phone call. I do appreciate it. I honestly, I don't even know what to say, to be quite honest. Okay, maybe saying that women should allow men to compete with them in the NCAA is stupid, but she isn't. All right? I will tell you, Terry, and I greatly appreciate your phone call. If you think that men should be able to compete with women because they say they're women, then sorry, you don't get it. All right? You don't get it. As far as Caitlin is concerned, she's a hell of an outside shooter. And I would say that just because she is a great offensive shooter and possibly not the best defensive shooter doesn't mean she's going to fade into obscurity in the WNBA. Nonsense. That's BS. Number one offensive player in the country, number one scorer for men and women in the history of college basketball. I wouldn't say that suddenly having somebody with a hand in her face is going to stop her from scoring. So there you go. But if you want to get really upset about it, that's perfectly fine. But I will tell you, I get just as upset when I hear stories about women getting beaten by men in sports, you know, and losing their scholarships and having to say, take second or third or miss being All-American because some jackass with a penis can't compete with other men and so joins the women's team in his senior year and keeps women from becoming All-Americans. So that's stupid, even if your coach isn't stupid for saying something stupid. Sorry, I'm a little bit, I'm tired of the nonsense. It's nonsensical to have women compete with men. If you don't believe me, then please meet me at the gym. Okay, remember Andy Kaufman way back when? He did a bit where he challenged all comers, all women, to come and wrestle him. And because he's a man, he beat the snot out of him. And it was satire. I mean, my testosterone is about a fourth of what it should be. I technically have a depressed testosterone. I should be able to compete with women in some degree in athletics at this point. And I would challenge any woman in the audience to meet me at the gym today and see if any female athlete can take 55-pound dumbbells in each hand and do 10 reps doing curls. Please bring it. And I'm a 58-year-old guy. That's why I will not say that the South Carolina coach is an idiot, but I will tell you that if she thinks that men could compete with women by saying they're women, then I can't go down with that. Okay, all right. So you can call me a whatever, an idiot, and you can get all bent out of shape about it if you want to. But any coach in NCAA women's sports who says it's okay for men to identify to be women and compete with women is full of crap. There you go. I said it. Christopher in Catonsville, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hi, Chris Everett and Billie Jean King triggered a little something. Martina Navratilova was the person I remember getting kicked off of a sports board for this very reason quite a long time ago, and nobody ever mentions Renee Richards.
Well, Renee Richards was a man who was a woman. Yes, I get that. But also Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. Bobby Riggs was an old man. He was a retiree.
Yeah,
he was a retiree, all right? As far as Renee Richards.
I remember that, too.
Yeah, well, you know, Renee Richards was the exception to the rule. But I've had people like even, you know, Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, even that person says that it is unfair for men to become women and compete against women.
Exactly. Yep.
And the left has taken this to a new level of absurdity by allowing people like Leah Thompson, their senior year in college, even though they're 6 feet four with a wingspan of about 8 feet, competing with women, you know, they've taken it to a new level of absurdity.
Like
so I can't go there.
Martina Navratilova, she's the one that first stood up for that way a long time ago. I remember that clearly.
Exactly. Thanks for the call. That's just the way it is. I mean, honestly, just look at the Guinness Book of World Records. Look at the Olympic records. I've made this point before. Men and women Olympic shot put. They have about the same distance as far as the record is concerned. I believe it's about 76 feet or so. Right? You're thinking, okay, men and women are equal. Here's the problem. Guys shot put weighs 16 pounds. Women shot put weighs 8 pounds. There you go. That's why I'm calling out her comment, because I'm here to defend women's sports. I'm here to defend women from being injured by getting a volleyball spiked into their face and crushing their nose, which has happened. Or women having leg injuries during basketball games because men with razor stubble are out there saying they're women and competing with women. That's why I think what she had to say was really stupid, even if she isn't stupid. I'll give you that. One comment doth not make you stupid, but the concept of saying it's okay for men to identify women as women and compete with women is. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. Our money loses value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. What if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. Or if you're an accredited investor, you could earn even higher yields, double digits, in their gold bond offerings. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over spot, or you can use gold you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. Opt out of the dollar, central bankers, fiat currency, the corrupt financial system, and get your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. Visit monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information. Again, monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information or to get started opening your account.
Your 100% safe and effective vaccine against the stupid is the Rob Carson Show.
So I didn't realize I would raise the ire of some people by saying that it's ridiculous for the coach of the national champion women's NCAA basketball team to say it's cool if men identifying as women could play women's basketball. It's absurd on the face of it. The reason why she was asked is because this is what female athletes are facing. 24 young women have quit an Australian soccer league after officials allowed one team to add 5 transgender athletes, some of whom went on to injure girls on their teams. Parents rose up in anger last month after the Flying Bats Football Club added the 5 male-born players to their girls' soccer team, went on to a winning every single game in the preseason. Yeah, and then injuring people. And then there's this transgender school athlete who was filmed knocking down a rival player, played 5 other female sports in Massachusetts, 6-foot-tall student at Kipp Academy in Lynn, Massachusetts, injured 3 opponents during a girls' basketball game February the 8th. They literally had to forfeit the game. And then because they forfeited the game, the team that forfeited were the ones that got punished. Yeah, see, that's what I'm mad about. And it's ridiculous for anyone to consider seriously the possibility of men competing with women in sports that involve strength, speed, etc. Just because, look at all the athletic records in the history of mankind. There you go. That's what I'm saying. There you go. So you can be mad at me if you want that. I don't even care. and then there's this. The National Organization for Women Now said that those who oppose the inclusion of trans athletes in women's sports, they're proponents of white supremacy patriarchy. Apparently, they have deleted that social media post. Yeah, because all of this is twisted and Marxist nonsense. It never had anything to do with men and women and gender and that. It was all meant to throw a wrench in the works of society. To make us question everything. That's what Maoists and Marxists do. And it is fortunately beginning to do a faceplant, which I'm really great. So Donald Trump threw down the gauntlet. Judge Mershon, you heard this guy who's presiding over the classified documents. It's the gag order, which you kind of want to be careful around when you talk about an ex-porn star. So the New York Post says that Donald Trump has thrown down a gauntlet because Donald Trump pointed out the fact that the daughter of this judge, Lauren Mershon, helped Democrats raise $93 million off her father's case. She represents people like Kamala Harris and Pencil Neck, among others. So Donald Trump has said, basically, I will gladly become a modern-day Nelson Mandela if you want to throw me in jail for speaking out against this unconstitutional gag order. That's kind of an interesting thing to do. What would happen if the judge did it? I think it would get very big and very ugly really fast, and I think it would most assuredly elect Donald Trump the president of the United States. Yeah. This was a reporter asking MSNBC on the scene in Iowa, asking this is a man of color. He's a black man who should hate Donald Trump because Donald Trump is a white supremacist, MAGA fascist, enemy of democracy, probably a slaveholder at some point in his family's history. And here's what he had to say about the persecution of Donald Trump and what it means to the average Americans.
So when Trump is facing all these things, he's doing it for us in our place. So now it's up to us to feel what he feels as well. We represent him in our localities. When they are indicting him, we are being indicted.
Uh-oh.
When they talk negative about him, they're talking negative about us.
There you go. Right. Yeah, a lot of people feel that way. And it was funny because this weekend, CNN had Tiffany Smiley, and she's a Republican, and they actually allowed her to say this.
And these people will absolutely come home for Donald Trump. Donald Trump just had his largest, biggest small dollar donations in March, grassroots small dollar donations. You know, the American people are waking up to the fact, and they're seeing and feeling, they believe that our judicial system is sort of rigged, right?
Oh, yeah.
Against Donald Trump.
You mean
yeah.
by the
like lawfare? Absolutely. Well, for example, the Judge Juan Merchan in the hush money case, his daughter, for crying out loud, raises money for Adam Schiff. Yeah. And Kamala Harris using the ploy that we will lock up Donald Trump.
Yeah, go ahead.
Look, I
Donald Trump will keep raising small dollar money on that. Absolutely. That just needs to recuse himself
go.
From that case.
There you go. So, you know, everybody's starting to get it. That was actually Jake Trapper trying to fit a word in edgewise and getting beaten. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show.
All these things, he's doing it for us in our place. So now it's up to us to feel what he feels as well. We represent him in our localities. When they are indicting him, we are being indicted. When they talk negative about him, they're talking negative about us.
This is the way people are beginning to feel about Donald Trump, that the federal government is going after Donald Trump like they have gone after American citizens, whether it be January the 6th, hostages. I'll say it. Most of them are in prison for no reason at all, just for being there and to send a message to others who would challenge government authority or questioning about an election, which you should be guaranteed to be able to do. All right. But a lot of people are looking at Donald Trump now as us and them, and them, they're the deep state party, the Democrats, the mainstream media, big social media, and then the rest of us. So every strike against Donald Trump is a strike against you and me. And it's getting, it's that way. And the deep state has done that to themselves, by the way, by going after us, by going after CRT parents, by going after parents who oppose blatantly sexual books in libraries and saying we're the problem, or shutting down businesses, saying you can't go to church, can't have an opinion. Yeah, the people look at the deep state Democrat Party, most departments in the government now, with zero favor at all, and they did it to themselves. Oh, and one other comment about Caitlin Clark playing in the NBA, all right? And we got a call a little while ago, and I do appreciate Terry calling up. She yelled at me, clearly is a South Carolina fan, and she called me an idiot and all that. As far as Caitlin Clark not having a defense, when the hell did having a defense matter in the NBA? Honestly, really. Maybe women's basketball is a little bit different, but honestly, who in the NBA has succeeded being, I don't know, an offensive player? Most of them. There you go. So, you know, you rarely, very rarely are the defensive, like the defense masters, you know, offensive rebounds. Joe Blow had 10 offensive rebounds. Oh, my God. That never makes the head of the newscast. You know what does? How many trays? How many dunks? How many points? There you go. So, there you go. Deception by the FDA led to therapeutic nihilism and lives lost to COVID. This is an article by Dr. Peter McCullough. He created the wellness company. Did you know that? Yeah, he did. He did. On March 21st, 2024, in an unprecedented court case, the U.S. FDA, led by Commissioner Robert Califf, a previously respected Duke cardiologist, settled a case and removed all of its false and misleading claims about ivermectin. They had to eat their own words. During 2021, in what has been called the war on ivermectin, the U.S. FDA engaged in false and misleading tweets and public messaging to dissuade doctors, pharmacists, and patients from using the drug. In the McAuliffe protocol and similar multi-drug regimens for acute COVID-19. Turns out they worked. Turns out Peter McAuliffe was right. Peter McAuliffe created the wellness company. You can get ivermectin. You can get hydroxychloroquine. The medicines that worked against COVID that the federal government kept from you, called them verboten, and forced you to take a vaccine as the only way to protect yourself. And by the way, it never did. If you would like to get an emergency medical kit from Dr. Peter McCullough's company, The Wellness Company, I want you to write down this website. And I want you to order it today, because we've already had the supply chain disrupted in Baltimore. All right? And it's 2024. And they're already talking about a bird flu. Really? Okay. Here's what you need to do. Go to twc.health/Carson, twc.health/Carson, and you'll get 10% off. 10% off. twc.health/Carson. I've been talking about this shift that's happening in America for the very good. And one of the things that I've have been really focused on every day is coming in here and offering you some hope. Not only analyzing what's going on in the news and having a take on it, but also saying, here's why this is going to be good for all of us. This is going to be good for the country. And trust me, there are days I come in and I reach rock bottom. And there are days I can't watch the news anymore. It's all bad news. But a great awakening is happening in our country. There's no doubt about it. It's bringing us together. And I coined the phrase over a year ago, 77% of us believe the country's headed in the wrong direction. 77% of us can come together to save her. And I believe that, and it's happening. It's really happening. The Democrat-run cities are going to hell in a handbasket. Republican governors brilliantly sent illegals to cities like Chicago, who are normally immune from their idiotic policies, and New York. And look what happened. Now they're facing it. And now people who are traditional Democrats and liberals are saying, oh, wait a minute. And that includes a lot of black people who are going, you know what? Now we get it. Now we get that the federal government is not on our side. And we're coming together because we can work through things like Donald Trump today. He said, abortion. Here's my position on abortion. We sent it to the states. We got rid of Roe v. Wade. It's on the state level, and the states shall decide. There you go. I am as pro-life as you could possibly imagine, okay? I'm adopted, and I found out my mother was raped. That's why she gave me up. I don't think there's anybody who has more arrows in their quiver with regard to being pro-life than me, all right? But am I an absolutist? No. If a woman gets raped, you go to the emergency room, you take that RU486 that morning after, and that's the way it works. No woman should have to carry a baby if she's been raped or a victim of incest. There should be a limit on the amount of time that the fetus is able to develop in the womb, and it should be a very short time. Very short. But leave it up to the states. Ding! There you go. Donald Trump came to the middle. Right there. Right there. And so now the left can't go bat guano crazy and say he wants women to die in back alley abortions with coat hangers. No, not at all. So now let's focus on the real important stuff that could kill us, like the southern border being open, like China being our enemy and flying spy balloons over our country, buying farmland. I can go on and on, like another pandemic. We didn't hold China accountable. Every American's pissed about that. Every American's mad about that, unless you're completely clueless. We want to know where COVID came. We want to know why our schools were closed, why our kids' lives were destroyed. We want people to be held accountable. And so we're coming together. We want to know why the deep state shut down our freedom of expression. We want to know why Democrat-run school districts are creating another generation of children, particularly kids of color, whose lives are ruined because they graduate high school without being able to read or do math. And nobody seems to care. That's what's bringing us together. And it's working beautifully. Tucker Carlson did an interview with somebody I think is kind of interesting. His name is Santiago Pliego. And he talked about a vibe shift. It's a little more hip version of what I've been saying about what's going on. We are experiencing, and this is not generational, meaning boomers and Xers and Zers, we agree on a lot of stuff. Some Zers, too late for them, you know, whatever. They'll figure it out when they put some years on them. But this is not a generational thing. This is a freedom thing. This is a we love our country thing. This is we're proud of being in our country. We may disagree on the small stuff, but we're really glad we're here kind of thing. All right? So here is this Santiago Pliego with the paradigm shift. Provided I can get it to play. Here we go. The paradigm shift.
The vibe shift I'm talking about is the speaking of previously unspeakable truths, the noticing of previously suppressed facts. I'm talking about the feel you get when the walls of propaganda and bureaucracy start to move as you push. The very visible dust kicked up in the air as experts and fact-checkers scramble to hold on to decaying institutions. The cautious but electric rush of energy when dictatorial edifices designed to stifle innovation, enterprise, and thought are exposed or toppled.
Okay, so there you go. People are experiencing a paradigm shift. Now, here is where this author, Pliego, talks about us coming together. Pay attention.
I think these groups, what's interesting about the vibe shift, one of the interesting things about the vibe shift is that all of these groups that were usually not used to working together or seeing each other as co-belligerents in a cultural fight are finding each other.
Co-belligerents. That means when we're both very vocal about our beliefs and they oppose each other.
And are saying, hey, you have useful things that we can use over here, and we have useful things and thoughts and ideas that you can use over here.
There you go.
And that's creating this pressure, this monolithic pressure, bureaucratic pressure, top down across a variety of different groups and circles, whether you're in Silicon Valley or just a normal American family or in the Midwest or it doesn't matter. Everybody is facing this kind of existential pressure, and that's causing a lot of these groups to look for co-belligerents.
Co-belligerents. Like, for instance, let me give you an example. Matt Taibbi and me, Michael Schellenberger and me, we are co-belligerents. We both agree that the government should not be involved in censorship. It's pretty amazing. I mean, Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi are the opposite of me. They would have hated me had they not recognized all of the things that the government is doing to journalists like them and talk show hosts like me. Yeah, see? Co-belligerents.
Look for allies. And that's creating really interesting crossovers. People that you would not think would be working together or reading each other or boosting each other's content or interacting with one another are all of a sudden coming together in ways that are exciting.
There you go. Listen to this. This is according to his piece on Substack, the Santiago Pliego. Fundamentally, the vibe shift is a return to a championing of reality, a rejection of the bureaucratic, the cowardly, the guilt-driven, a return to greatness, courage, and joyous ambition. What did I say? How are we going to defeat the left? Patriotism and joy. We overwhelm them with joy. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? I predicted this a long time ago when we could do it. You walk outside today. Maybe it's a beautiful day where you are. This same beautiful day could have happened 4 years ago, but somebody was in charge of the country who was different. But now, you know, it sucks to live here. Your ability to pursue life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness is restricted by the idiots in Washington, D.C. who want to keep you in your place. And they do that with making it hard for you to find a job, bringing in millions of illegals, giving them the jobs, rampant inflation, government spending. I can go on and on. Wars that we don't need to be involved in. Listen to that again. The vibe shift is a return to a championing of reality. That's return to common sense from nonsense. Yeah, who else said that? Okay. A rejection of the bureaucratic, the cowardly, the guilt-driven. You need to drive an electric car because you're going to kill everybody. You shouldn't eat beef because you're going to kill everybody. A return to greatness, courage, and joyous ambition. And who do you suppose ushered in some of this? Well, it's a guy who has his own rocket company, and he bought Twitter.
I think the response is going to be increased pressure in some ways, but and this is why I talk about this in the piece, an important part of the vibe shift, maybe not its sole cause, but certainly an important piece of the enabling of the vibe shift was Elon Musk buying Twitter and
yes.
turning it into X.
Yes.
It's hard.
The left hates it. I love it. I can actually put my opinion on Twitter. I can say that school closings were stupid. And I don't get taken down.
Overstate without kind of sounding hyperbolic. But these groups that I'm talking about, disparate groups that are now finding themselves working together.
Yes.
Were by design, algorithmically or otherwise, unable to find each other, even, you know, as early as 18 months ago. And you couldn't talk online. You couldn't find other people.
That was the federal government.
People who thought like you or even wanted to ask the same questions as you, and it made it very difficult, very isolating to a very sort of isolating dynamic for
yeah.
people to be online and to find co-belligerents and others who share their mind, their values.
Yeah.
I think that pressure will continue to escalate, but Elon has kind of taken an important piece of the puzzle, of the bureaucrats' puzzle, out, completely toppled that sort of Jenga. Tower.
Yeah, so people can make up their own minds. Isn't that amazing? You know, MSNBC is not allowing you to do that. They're deciding whether they should let Donald Trump speak. When he's given a speech, they decide, you know, we're just going to cut him off because chances are he's going to say something that is disinformation. So they're still doing it. They're still the Soviet Union. But look what Elon Musk did to Twitter. And what do you have to fear? Exposure to an idea that's different? You may end up agreeing, like, I don't know, wanting to save our country. Yeah, I told you. That's why I'm optimistic. A return to joy, and we overwhelm them with patriotism and joy. We take back, and I have taken back, mockery, ridicule, and comedy from them, and those are powerful weapons. Let's take a break and come back. This is The Rob Carson Show. Talking about this vibe shift. I told you, hillbillies and homeboys, Hebrews, all coming together to save the country. Yeah, this includes Jews and Gentiles, and this includes liberals and conservatives coming together to save the country. And this is, again, this piece I had mentioned from Santiago Pliego. It's hard to overstate how much Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter had accelerated the vibe shift. The most unexpected groups have found themselves as co-belligerents in an existential war to preserve our ability to speak, compute, build, worship, transact, live in peace. I told you. This is what glasnost and perestroika did, I guess, for the Soviet Union. Joy and patriotism will bring down the beast of the deep state. We're coming together. I love it. I love it. I've been waiting forever for this. I've been waiting my entire broadcast career for this. And we're doing it. Let's go to Kevin in New Hampshire, the home of Benny Media, which carries this glorious radio program. Kevin, what are your thoughts? You want to talk about trans women competing with women?
Yes, sir. I've got some problems with that, obviously. Not only did I play behind Joe Dudek, who was in 80, like late 80s, 85, 86, drafted by the Denver Broncos.
Yes.
It would have been drafted to go and get into football at that time. I'm talking about at that time. I still would have been sidelined because I was 5'5", 130 pounds. This dude-ish thing, whatever you want to call him, I have a wicked problem with. You know what? Go Riley.
Amen. Absolutely. 100%. Kevin, I appreciate it. You know, when I was in eighth grade and seventh grade, I had an unfair advantage. And I had to go compete with high school because I was 6'1", 245 in eighth grade. And when I did shot put at all of the track meets, I won. And when I did discus, I won because the next biggest kid on our team was 135 pounds. And so when wrestling came around, they sent me to the high school, and I had to get my rear end kicked by the high school students. And this included people who weighed 265, 285, and whatnot. But I honestly, I had 35 quarterback sacks in 7 games in eighth grade football because I was bigger than everybody. In sixth grade, I bought an entire tournament, a wrestling tournament. You know why? They couldn't find a kid big enough for me to wrestle. I know I'm 6'1", about 245 now. But in sixth grade, when you were 5'9" and 175, you can see. So I bought an entire tournament, all right? And in eighth grade, as a boy, I was much bigger than the other boys. So I had an unfair advantage. When you put that same boy on a girl's team, then it's really unfair. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. We got much, much more to get to. Pete Buttigieg, Biden's climate rules cost us $1 trillion, among other things. The number 800-922-6680. This is a Monday edition of the Rob Carson Show. All right, third hour of the show, Congressman Jody Heiss, former congressman, joins us to talk about vote integrity. The casualty and famine numbers of the Palestinians are nonsense, and the aid workers' deaths are another hospital bombing moment. I'll explain that. And anti-Israel protests at Rutgers need to be expelled. One university president is putting the kibosh on anti-Semitism.
If you're anything like me, you have a certain tendency to put things off until the very last minute. You know, when I get my car inspected, for some reason, I always wait till the last minute, the last day. When I pay Ironhead, I always wait till the last minute. And while most of the time it works out, the one thing in life you really cannot afford to wait on is setting up term coverage life insurance. You've probably seen life insurance commercials on TV and thought, yeah, well, I'll look into that later. No, this isn't something you can wait on. Choose life insurance through Ladder today. Ladder is 100% digital, no doctors, no needles, no paperwork. When you apply for $3 million in coverage or less, just answer a few questions about your health in an application. Since life insurance costs more as you age, now is the time to cross it off your list. You just need a few minutes and a phone or a laptop to apply. Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, so you'll find out if you're approved instantly. No hidden fees, cancel anytime, get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. So go to ladderlife.com/Jerry today to see if you're instantly approved. That's ladderlife.com/Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, ladderlife.com/Jerry.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
This is The Rob Carson Show, hour number 3, 800-922-6680. During the break, I went outside and looked at the eclipse. I live in the Kansas side of Kansas City, about a little bite out of it, about a quarter of it. And apparently it's going to be about 98% covered. I had the glasses that I bought at the grocery store this morning for 99 cents. And they did the trick. They did the trick pretty well. So there you go. The eclipse is going on. Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's kind of cool, you know. I'm not sure if it's like so unbelievably cool you got to drive to Indiana to see it because, you know, you got 98% of it here. I guess you got to go to Indianapolis to see the whole deal. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, Indy's pretty nice, though. The town square is quite lovely. And the war memorial, you can go up inside there, and it's pretty cool. And then you go down the street to, there's a restaurant called St. Elmo's, and it's a steakhouse. And people in Indianapolis, you don't know this, but they're going to try to trick you into getting the shrimp cocktail. and they're going to order the shrimp cocktail, and you're going to go, oh, my God, I can't wait to try the shrimp cocktail. And then they're going to say, make sure to dip it in that cocktail sauce, right? And then you dip it in the cocktail sauce, and it's like somebody sprayed Bear Mace in your face because they have this cocktail sauce that is stronger than any wasabi you've ever had in your life. And you will want to claw your eyeballs out in agony for about 5 seconds before you come back to your senses and your eyes are watering and you're like, what the hell just happened? Just thought you should know. The cocktail sauce at St. Elmo's, it's some people love it, but most of the time people in Indianapolis just use it as a prank. I'm not kidding. If you know what I'm talking about. If you're in Indianapolis, you know what I'm talking about. I literally had a job interview. They took me to the lunch. They ordered the cocktail sauce and the shrimp, and they literally watched me. I'm kind of like, why are they watching me eating this shrimp? What's going on here? What? And I take a bite, and it's like, oh! And then, of course, they're like, boom, boom. Okay. All right. Anyway, solar eclipse is going on there. It's going on. Let's go to Monica in Parkville. She's been wanting to talk. I went to a Parkville, Missouri yesterday, actually. Not the one you're from, though, Monica. What's on your mind today there, Monique?
Well, I'll tell you. I want to talk about the South Carolina coach. And she is almost an idiot, if not, because, and with the other lady that called to defend her, she is a coward. She had a real opportunity to defend every woman that plays sports. And she just heed and hawed and, well, you know. And I couldn't get over it. It made me so angry when I heard it because I did hear her response. And to say that Caitlin is, can't play defense is absolutely absurd. I mean, so she couldn't get around a 6'7" tree sometimes, you know, the South Carolina center. But she has so many smarts, and she has her defense is her intelligence and how she knows everybody on the floor and where she could get to. And, she absolutely, Caitlin is the best all-around basketball player that I've ever seen. And I've been basketball for a long time.
I got to tell you, I think there's a little bit of reverse, you know, they say reverse racism. It's not reverse racism. It's racism. They don't like, a lot of people don't like me. ESPN analysts hate it for some reason. Rather than celebrating all women who play sports, they're like, oh, white girl sets the NCAA record. That's not fair, white girl. I mean, honestly, right? There's a little bit of that going on. I think it's a damn shame. There's no way that girl, and listen, Pistol Pete played fewer games. I got it. But her effort as a college athlete is remarkable. To be the all-time men's and women's scoring leader in the NCAA, tell me that somebody didn't have their hand in her face when she made a good share of those shots. It's absurd to think otherwise.
She is the best. And
she
has more defense. And she is an offensive player. I mean, she's bringing the ball down half the time. But, you know, playing defense, like, her passes were better than any man's I've ever seen. And, you know, she's just an incredible player.
I was watching her. Listen, I haven't had a time to watch a lot of a ball, but I watched the last couple of Iowa games with Caitlin play. And she is a master at ball handling. She really is. She can dish it off. She does a lot of offensive assists that are just masterful. And that is all part of the total package. It doesn't end at shooting trays, which, by the way, she can shoot from outside the NBA three-point line by 4 feet.
I know. I used to be a really good shooter, but, I've never seen anything like her. Never.
Excellent. Yeah, thanks for the phone call. I do appreciate it. I grew up in Iowa. And maybe when you grew up, you're a Gen Xer. Did your school have the I Shot 10,000 Club? And you would spend the entire summer shooting baskets. And it was a couple hours a day. And then you get this I Shot 10,000 T-shirt, and there were people. I tell you, we had a little kid on our team. He was like 5'8", Marty Rogers, and this guy could shoot outside like nobody's business. And I would say, and listen, I don't follow college basketball, but I'll tell you, kids in Iowa, you're bred to be shooters. You know, we didn't have a lot of dunks at my school. We were, you know, white farm kids. You're not going to get a lot of, you know, hanging on the rim upside down. Although Brad Armstrong did. He did it as when I graduated, and he actually broke the backboard in a backward dunk. He was a white boy, only 6 feet tall, was able to do it. But that was the exception to the rule. So you had to rely on shooting. All right, there was no dunking. It was all no alley-oops. It's kind of fun. Well, talking way more about basketball than I ever expected about today. But anyway, let's talk about this. How about this? The data show Israel is not causing a Gazan famine. What? Yeah. The death of those AIDS workers, the people who are helping out to feed people with Chef Andres. I know him, by the way. He threw my 40th birthday at one of his restaurants in Crystal City many years ago. And, you know, but he's very left of center. And what the left is trying to do is use the death of these people in the aid caravan for Chef Jose Andres as kindling to start a fire. They tried that with the hospital bombing that wasn't a hospital bombing. And they ushered in this new anti-Semitism around the country and around the world. Right now, we know that our federal government is trying to have Bibi Netanyahu deposed. Literally, they're creating these AstroTurf protests in Tel Aviv to oust Benjamin Netanyahu because the left and our federal government are working hand in hand. The left and our federal government and Joe Biden are anti-Semites. They are not on the side of Israel. All Joe Biden cares about is votes. And he's siding with the radical Islamists in Michigan. And they aren't. The people who are saying no to Joe Biden are not regular Islamists. They are radical Jew-hating Islamists. And Joe Biden doesn't want to lose their vote. What should that tell you about Joe Biden and the Democrat Party? It should tell you a lot. And I got to tell you, Benjamin Netanyahu ain't going to put up with it. You don't mess around with BB. I've got some startling stats on the other side
Biden
of this.
Biden called up BB, tried to tell him what to do.
Jim Gossett.
Netanyahu pushed back on Joe's attack, none of which was true. Joe demanded a ceasefire, Ben said, hey, no can do. I'll defend my nation and an explanation. I do not owe you, hey, Chuck, that goes for you too. You don't threaten Israel, Joe. You don't turn your back on a friend. You don't take the side of your Iran buddies, and you don't mess around with Ben.
I'll mess with Ben.
He don't care about the votes. You're losing in Michigan. You don't betray our longtime ally, and you don't mess around with Ben. Don't mess around with Ben.
Israel's acknowledging that a drone attack mistakenly killed 7 aid workers in Gaza has led to renewed criticism of the Jewish state. They were looking for a trigger, guys. The left was looking for a trigger. The tragic incident came less than 3 weeks after a report issued by the Integrated Food Security Phase. They claimed that 1.1 million people, nearly half of the population of Gaza, face catastrophic food insecurity conditions, and that northern Gaza will face famine by May if hostilities continue. The European Union's High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Secretary Policy, Joseph Borrell, blamed Israel, saying starvation is used as a weapon of war. Israel is provoking famine. Problem. Hamas has been hoarding food and stealing from Gazans. It's the root cause of Gazan suffering, as Congressman Jim Himes, a Connecticut Democrat and ranking member of the House Delegate Committee, stated on CNN. Hamas has a long history of stealing aid and needs to stop that in the interest of the people they purport to represent. This is Benjamin Netanyahu spokesperson Tal Heinrich talking to Greta Von Susteren on Newsmax.
Nobody in Hamas is going hungry, Greta. Please be sure of that, because we arrested thousands of these terrorists, Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. None of them seemed to be hungry. Hamas, they've been hoarding and stealing the aid that has been funneling in. And keep in mind that more food trucks have entered Gaza since October 7th on a daily basis than before the war has even begun, before the October 7th massacre. Hamas have been stealing this aid, and at sometime they sell it for tenfold the price at the market. And you know what? They're not doing it just to feed their own war machine. They do it because that is part of their strategy. They want to maximize the civilian suffering in Gaza in hopes that Israel will take the fire for it and that international...
You think that people who would put RPG launchers in school playgrounds and hide weapons and soldiers and rockets in hospitals would have any problem starving people to the point of near death for propaganda? Well, of course they would.
Pressure on Israel will bring an eventual end to this war and let them stay in power, let them live another day and carry out another October 7th massacre.
Yeah, my friend Chris Plant had heard from insiders that Jose Andres' food caravan may have, in other vehicles in the caravan, had Hamas people infiltrated it, which would have painted a target on them. But of course, the left is going to use the bombing as ammunition against Israel. The fighting did stop, I guess, out of northern Gaza. Israeli troops were withdrawn. That's what Joe Biden wants to happen. And the only reason this is happening is because Hamas faces extinction. And the left doesn't want Hamas extinct. And Joe Biden and the Democrat Party and the radical left are on the side of Hamas. According to COGAT data, 290,000 tons of food and beverages have been delivered to Gaza since October. Recently, as many as 200 truckloads a day. Full distribution of these supplies would deliver about 1.82 pounds of food daily for each of the 2 million people in Gaza. Based on FAO estimates of the average daily consumption in Asia and Africa, where Gaza is situated, this alone would be enough to supply 50% of Gazans' daily consumption needs on top of the food they continue to produce themselves. So they're lying to you about casualties, and they're lying to you about famine. Here is John Kirby talking about the aid workers who died, and of course, doing everything he can to emote in favor of the Palestinians.
Are you satisfied with the investigation? He clearly wants to see more done. Would you like to see a further investigation?
We're looking at the investigation right now, Martha. We haven't come to any conclusions one way or another. This was an investigation that was done sort of akin to like an inspector general. So it was outside the chain of command. But again, we're working our way through that.
Andre said he questioned the Israeli claim that the drones could not see the logo on top of the car. Is he right to question that?
I don't know. We haven't also...
The Israeli army would not intentionally go after a humanitarian aid convoy. That's not how Israel operates.
Seen, as far as I know, haven't seen any of the specific video evidence. So it's hard to know...
You know why I know that?
What their sight picture...
Because they lied about the hospital, too. Because that's Hamas. They are deceivers and they're evil. And they don't care about their own people. Kind of like the Democrat Party in America. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Help me digest what we just heard. You obviously interviewed Ambassador Regev earlier today, and their position is, when you press them on the civilian death toll, that yes, they agree with what Secretary Blinken.
This is Andrea Mitchell after the supposed hospital bombing in Gaza that didn't happen.
Is saying that the death toll is too high, that they're trying to mitigate civilian deaths. This is the real crux of the crisis here.
It is, and I think dramatically, the problem for Israel right now is that they are going after hospitals.
Okay, that was a lie. That was a lie. I've got this piece here. Abraham Weiner, How the Gaza Ministry of Health fakes casualty numbers. The evidence is in their own poorly fabricated figures. They're lying about the death toll. They're lying about the famine. Are there people going hungry? Yes, it's a war. Did Israel go after Jose Andres' food convoy just to kill some innocent people? No, they didn't. Do the Israelis, are they very selective about who they kill? Absolutely. It's just that Hamas are evil. They don't care about their own people. They brainwash them to be cannon fodder. And when they become cannon fodder, they act like, holy crap, Israel is really doing this. Oh, my God. Honestly? I mean, are you this stupid? I don't think most of you are this stupid. But Andrea Mitchell certainly was. Here is John Kirby being asked why Joe Biden isn't saying anything about what's going on in Israel.
If he feels so strongly, why isn't the president out there talking about
this? You saw his statement after
I read a paper statement.
Because he's trying to straddle the fence between Jews and the radical Islamists in places like Michigan.
Call with the prime minister, and he will continue to talk to the American people and the members of Congress about what we're doing and what we're not doing.
Yeah, it's nonsense. It's utter nonsense. Here is John Kirby emoting about the dead people in the convoy.
Are you satisfied with the investigation? He clearly wants to see more done. Would you like?
Actually, I already played that. Here is Martha Raddatz talking to John Kirby about the civilian death toll.
A sea of protesters in Tel Aviv this weekend demanding new elections and calling for a deal to release hostages 6 months
after. You hear this? This is exactly what they did with the hospital bombing. Except for now, they are using it to ignite people in Israel with AstroTurf protests to take down Benjamin Netanyahu.
For the terror attack on October 7th. I'm joined now by White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby.
Oh, is that what the hell you are?
Good to see you, Admiral Kirby. And let's start with that interview with Jose Andres. Yeah. He says this is a war against humanity and things have to change.
No, it's not. It's a war against Hamas and what they did on October the 7th and their inhumanity.
Now.
Well, our hearts continue to go out with Chef Andres and his whole team at World Central Kitchen. As you know, the president spoke to him. The president shares that grief and sorrow.
Oh, yeah, sure he does.
And as we have made clear, there's going to have to be some changes to the way the Israeli Defense Forces are prosecuting these operations
no.
in Gaza.
No, they're not.
To make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, it happens. When we withdrew from Afghanistan, 13 out of our Marines were blown to bits. And then Joe Biden, with his typical incompetence, they decided to go after the bombers. They killed a family, an innocent family of 10. All right? These horrible things happen in war. They are not intentional acts. That's just what happens, especially when you embed your soldiers with the innocents in daycare centers and hospitals. The big, Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade Hospital had dozens of Hamas troops in there, weapons being hid there, and they kept hostages in the basement. All right. So this is what happens. But the left and radical Islamists are using this just like they tried with the faux hospital bombing after October the 7th to incite regime change in Israel. They want to get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu. Benjamin Netanyahu thus far has been beating the snot out of Hamas, and Hamas is on its final legs, on their last legs. And with each passing day, the left becomes more desperate to save Hamas. They have been on the wrong side of history forever. They're on the wrong side of history now. There you go. Coming up, ex-Congressman Jody Heiss to talk about vote integrity. That's coming up next. This is the Rob Carson Show. It is Rob Carson Show. By the way, where I live, the eclipse is about half. The moon is about halfway in front of the sun. We got about a half moon out there. It's pretty interesting to watch. I go outside and the birds are quiet. I mean, literally, the animals are kind of going, whoa, what's going on? It's kind of weird. My neighbors are out on the back deck. That's kind of weird, Anyway, yeah, it's halfway here in Kansas City. Not exactly sure where Congressman, former Congressman Jody Heiss is. He is a former Georgia Congressman, Senior Vice President, Family Research Council, one of the people who I literally, when I see his name coming up on either Fox or Newsmax and it says Jody Heiss is next, I stick around for it. I enjoy his take on a lot of different issues, and I am very happy to have him join me on the Newsmax hotline on the Rob Carson Show. Congressman, how are you today?
I am doing great, Rob. It's a supreme honor to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Where are you today, my friend? Are you in the path of the eclipse?
I am not. I'm actually in Georgia right now, getting ready to head to D.C., but in Georgia right now, and we've just got a beautiful sunshiny day with not a cloud in the sky.
There you go. Well, you've got this book. It's called Sacred Trust, Election Integrity and the Will of the People, and there's a lot of things going on right now. We've seen the weaponization of the DOJ against Donald Trump, four political indictments all timed to happen right now, all four judges desperate to get at least one conviction. You've got the entirety of government now working to get the vote out. That's the latest executive order from Joe Biden. So they're doing their level best to rig the election like they did the 2020 election. Let me ask you this, Congressman. Do you suppose that they will be able to rig it like they did in 2020?
You know, it's who knows what's going to happen. It's frightful. The things that you mentioned certainly raise all sorts of red flags and concerns. And you know, that's partly what drove me to write this book, Rob. I was on the oversight committee during the years of the pandemic, and the push to change election laws using COVID as the reason why we've got to change all this was just, that's what threw me in the whole fire of this issue from the beginning. And it's extremely concerning. It's alarming. It just makes the hair stand up on my back, so to speak, to see the attempts that can be taken to easily impact elections. And we, the people, we've got to stand up. At the end of the day, I don't know that there is anything any more important than having secure elections. And we have lots of major issues facing our country, from the border to our economy to our national security. I mean, we can go on and on and on multiple issues. But at the end of the day, what is any more important than we, the people, having our votes count and accurately counted? That is of supreme importance to our country, and we must defend it. It is a sacred trust that has been given us that other countries in the world, many of them don't have, but we have, and it's our responsibility and our government's responsibility to make sure that our elections are secure and that they are an honest, accurate portrayal of the voice of the people and the will of the people.
I think we're witnessing history with regard to the last 8 years, particularly the last 4 years, and then going into this election, which is beyond historic. The Democrat Party have essentially made a man into a movement and now a folk hero. Donald Trump and America First have officially eclipsed. Eclipsed. You see what I worked that in there? Pretty clever, huh?
Good job.
have eclipsed the old Bush Cheney wing of the GOP and ushered in new leadership in the RNC. We saw amazing things happen with fundraising, $70 million last month by the RNC. I said once people trust the RNC to make the right decision, money will flow in like they've never seen. $50 million in Mar-a-Lago, doubling what Joe Biden was able to do with two presidents and half of Hollywood in New York City. What do you feel about the direction and leadership of the RNC going into the 2024 election and appointing Laura Trump as one of the co-chairs of the RNC?
Well, you know, I've got to admit, I was a little concerned going into it, thinking, man, we're right here in the middle of an election cycle, just getting underway here. What kind of turbulence is going to be caused if we upend the leadership at this point? But, you know, looking at the numbers of what you just described and what's happening, I have not seen any loss of momentum across the country. In fact, just the opposite. It seems to have just picked up steam and momentum. And that's encouraging because we need that right now. I think you're exactly right. What the media and the left has created out of Donald Trump, they've created a monster out of someone who is not. My experience with President Trump was just he's humorous, he's fun, he's enjoyable, he's personal, he loves this country, he is a man of action. And, people love that about him. And he's straightforward. He's going to stand up for the country, and people love that. And I think perhaps that's why the left can't stand him so much. I don't know what the issue is.
Yeah.
The more they have focused on him, the more of a movement, literally, I think that's the correct word you used, the more of a movement he has become.
Now you're a couple years older than me, but you're kind of a late in boomer, early Gen X. I'm a late Gen X, born in the mid '60s. And our entire lives, we kind of were post racism to some degree. We didn't make a big deal out of Uhura and Kirk making out on television. That was literally 10 years before I even recognized Star Trek the TV series. We were raised colorblind. We watched Sesame Street with a multicultural cast. We watched Schoolhouse Rock, and those things brought us together. And I think that we've been fed a lie about division in this country. There's been obviously a great deal of racism in our past, but there still is in countries everywhere, and none of us are without sin. But I do believe that we are coming together after years of division. One of the things that are bringing us together is suffering through this economy. And another thing is seeing the abuses and usurpations of the federal government against average people and the ignoring of the American people in crisis. So I'm very optimistic with my upbringing that we're gonna push back against 40 years of division. What are your thoughts about America in 2024 and the possibility of us coming together?
Well, I think we're certainly at a crossroad. I mean, we're going to go one way or the other, right? I mean, this is a critical election, and I've heard it, I've said it for, it seems like, one election after another, that this is the most important election in the history of our country. And, I guess in some degree they all are. It seems like with every election cycle that comes by, the stakes are higher and higher and higher. But I say that, and I believe that yet again coming into this 2024 election cycle, the stakes are so high, we are facing the potential of either going down a socialist-type government structure where we are going to lose more and more of our freedoms, and the government is going to dictate not only what we can and cannot do, but what we can and cannot believe. I mean, these are some of the things that are at stake right now. And so with that as a backdrop, yeah, I think people are seeing what's going on. They are seeing what has taken place with President Trump. They've seen the raids that have taken place on individuals' homes. They've seen the weaponized government. Goodness, they've seen just this past week pro-life individuals being charged for peacefully protesting in front of an abortion clinic. And so I think people are seeing more and more and more that we are experiencing a government that is hostile towards the people, hostile towards people of faith, hostile towards many of our freedoms that we have enjoyed over the centuries. And I think that does have enormous potential of unifying us as a country. And I think, quite frankly, that many of the polls out there are indicating such. People are saying to themselves, enough is enough. This is our country. We love liberty, and we want to defend it.
Let me, I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up with you, being from Georgia, and the Fani Willis case with regard to Donald Trump and all of the charges being brought against Donald Trump and 18 co-defendants. I think Fani Willis wanted a kangaroo court like they do in places like Cuba, where they put the accused in cages at the back of the court. That apparently has not happened. What do you see as the future of this case? I know it's being reviewed. Fani Willis is being investigated for a number of things, including, by the way, and without a doubt, perjuring herself on the stand. What are your thoughts on Fani Willis and Fulton County and what she's doing to the judicial system there?
Yeah, I think it's just been a mockery of the judicial system. I think the attempt is not out an exaggeration, as you say, as a kangaroo court. I had to testify in all that. I was subpoenaed personally before the grand jury as well. And, you know, I am pleased to see how this is seemingly going right now. It's being revealed for what it looks like. It has every look and appearance in the world as being nothing but politically driven for political purposes, and yet again an example of a weaponized government to go after political opponents. And that type of thing, Rob, is frightening. That is not what America is made of. And when we see examples like this and many other examples that are coming down the pipe these days, people, they are frightened by it. They are scared by it, and they, resist it. And that's why I believe, just as you were saying a while ago, we're going to see the American people all across this country take a stand in this upcoming election and draw a line in the sand and say our freedoms mean more to us than big government. And it's obvious big government is in many ways has become an enemy of the people.
Yeah, and you know what, I've been getting a lot more of this real concern and agreement that we're really up against. It's good and evil. It's not Democrat and Republican. A lot of this is good and evil. There's a great evil that has swept into our country, censoring free speech, opening our border, allowing fentanyl to come in, allowing unfettered immigration from enemy states like China. These are all evil things. So I think it's more than just Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. I think it's good and evil. What are your thoughts?
Oh, totally agree, 1,000%. In fact, and not everyone agrees with me on this. I recognize not everyone is a Christian. I'm an outspoken believer. And look, I believe that this is a spiritual war and not just a political issue. And when I believe in evil, and I believe we are watching, I mean, how in the world could we have a number of people right now defending Hamas? For crying out loud. I mean, yeah. You look at what they did on October 7th. It's like, what? How can we defend that? And yet, I have no other explanation for that type of thing, but just say the presence of evil is alive and well, and this is our time that we've got to stand up against it and stand for right, stand for truth, and to be heard.
Well, I do believe that we are going through tribulations, and we are on the road to enlightenment. To get to enlightenment, you have to go through tribulations, and we have. And I thought the icing on the cake was the President of the United States naming Easter Transgender Day of Visibility, and I think that was just it. That was the last straw. That was the last straw, and I believe we're going to come together to save our country. Your book is titled Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People. We got about another 45 seconds or so. What do you hope to accomplish with the book as far as educating people, as far as getting them involved?
Yeah, both of those issues. I share my experiences. I want people to know where I came from on this issue, how I got engaged in it, how we took a stand and took attacks. But listen, through it all, Rob, the American people need to understand there perhaps, politically speaking, is nothing more sacred than the will of the people to vote. And that is under serious attack. People must be educated as to what's going on, and they must step up to the plate and engage this thing and ensure with all their power that we're going to have free and fair elections. One legal vote cast, one legal vote counted. All across this country. So that's the purpose of the book, and I hope people will find it a great encouragement and an inspiration to get involved.
Well, I appreciate you being on the show. I would welcome you to be on the show anytime you want to come on, Congressman, former Congressman Jody Heiss, also Senior Vice President, Family Research Council. The book is called Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, The Will of the People. It's available on Amazon, among other places. Congressman, thank you so much for your time. God bless and have a glorious week.
God bless, Rob. Thank you.
All right, let's take a break. It's the Rob Carson Show. So I just went outside, and I was able to use the glasses I bought at the grocery store to take a picture of the eclipse. I'm going to post it on social media. And it is a little grainy, but damn, I think it was pretty good. I'm putting it right now. Here's the eclipse. I'm putting it right there. The eclipse. And you can just check it out by going to my social media. I'm all over the place at Rob Carson Show. So there you go. Yeah, go to Rob Carson Show on Twitter, on Instagram. My Instagram is really blowing up. We're having a lot of fun with Instagram. Doing a lot of really cool things on Instagram. So at Rutgers University, this is the anti-Semitic protests that were going on at Rutgers University last week. There you are, they got that same female out there going, Intifada, Intifada. It's always the same woman.
Long live the Intifada.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Every one of those people ought to be expelled. Here's a Rutgers student who just happens to be Jewish talking about it.
Want to see what Rutgers Jewish students dealt with last night? Watch this.
Okay, so this is the left's attempt to set fire to the country in the summer of 2024, just like they did in 2020. They used George Floyd's death, not murder, in 2020. They're trying this now. And now the aid workers dying, they're replacing the faux hospital bombing. That's what's happening, in case you wanted to know. Now, do you want to allow this to happen, or do you want to deliver a beatdown to the left? I personally want to deliver a beatdown. I ain't going to put up with this crap this year. Pomona College, University, Gabby Starr is the president. All these kids are showing up, they're screaming, from the river to the sea, Intifada, Intifada. So she decided to tell everybody, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Here is the president of Pomona University saying, shut up or you're done.
Excuse me? Everyone in this building is immediately subject to suspension. Harassment is following me with a camera. That is now clear. If you do not leave within the next 10 minutes, every student in this building is immediately suspended from this institution.
Woo.
If you are from Pomona, if you are from elsewhere, you immediately will be banned from this campus.
Wow.
Is that clear? 10 minutes.
There you go. What have I been saying? I've been saying that university president, I said this with Black Lives Matter, the University of Missouri, where the damn president and the provost quit, or the chancellor quit, because the kids were throwing a temper tantrum. I said, here's what you need to say to these kids. A, you're not in the position to demand anything, and B, get your asses to your classes. And finally, a university president did. And did you hear how quiet they were? There you go. Check out my picture of the eclipse. I just put it up on social media, Twitter at Rob Carson Show. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. That's going to do it for the show, guys. Have a glorious day. Check out the podcast today. It should be up very shortly. Go to your favorite podcast platform. Look up Rob Carson Show or Ask Alexa. Enjoy your eclipse, and I will see you tomorrow. God bless America, Israel, you. And until tomorrow, don't catch the stupid and don't stare into the sun.